All right, well, good morning. If you would, turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6 today. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Our lesson today is titled, Lie Detectors. God wants all of us to be good lie detectors. And there's a reason for that, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. That's what John tells us here. So there's no shortage of false teachers. And so for that reason, God's people need to be alert. They need to be aware. And they need to be sensitive to false teaching. They need to be able to detect a lie when they hear it. And so Jesus said, in Matthew 24:24, for false Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And then the Apostle Paul, he warned the Ephesian elders in Acts 20. He says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, and not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And then the Apostle Peter gives this warning in 2 Peter chapter 2. He says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And then one other passage, the Apostle Paul writes this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says, then in the latter time, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And so every man who preaches, every man who gets in a pulpit has a spirit behind him. It is either the spirit of God or the spirit of Antichrist. It's either the spirit of error or the spirit of truth, as John says in verse 6. And so God wants us to be discerning. Don't believe everything that you hear. Make sure that you're not being lied to. Be a good lie detector. And so we need to be Bereans, and we need to take everything we hear, and we need to measure it against the Word of God to make sure that it lines up. And if it doesn't line up, then we simply reject it or discard it. So in our text, we're going to observe how these false teachers will attack Jesus, how they do attack Jesus. And he calls these false teachers Antichrist. That's the terminology that John uses for them. And so first of all, I want you to see that they will attack his claim of uniqueness. They will attack his claim of uniqueness. Did you ever notice how that evil spirits knew who Jesus was whenever he showed up? You know, we see things like, for example, in Matthew 1, 23 and 24, Jesus said, now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. And so demons were aware of who Jesus was. We read about the demon-possessed man in Mark 5. And it says, and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of Most High God? I implore you, God, that you do not torment me. And he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. And then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, Send us into the swine that we may enter them. You see, the Bible is clear. Jesus is the Son of God. And because he is the Son of God, false teachers will attack his claim. They will go after him. In Scripture, Jesus is a big deal. You can't read the New Testament and not see that Jesus is a big deal. Now, here's the thing. False teachers don't replace Jesus. They reduce Jesus. All right? So they don't just completely remove Jesus, but they reduce Jesus. They bring him down. These false teachers say things like, he was a good man, or he was a prophet, or he was a moralist, he was a good teacher, anything, but he was the Son of God. And so false teachers malign Jesus. The Jehovah's Witness claim that Jesus is a created God. When you say that Jesus is a created God, you reduce Jesus. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Now, the Jehovah's Witness is one of the first groups to take the term God at the third time that it's used there and put a God. The Word was a God because it doesn't have the article there, so they say it should read a God. Now, where they got that from was a man by the name of Johannes Greber. Johannes Greber used to go in and have seances. I have his book. I also have his New Testament because I wanted to get proof of this. He has these seances. He talks to these demons, and he's asking them to help him understand the Word of God. And he is the one who received this teaching that Jesus is a God. When you look at the Jehovah's Witness, they used to reference Johannes Greber, but they don't reference him anymore. They don't reference him anymore because it's clear where he's getting his material. He's going to the demonic world and asking demons to help him understand the Word of God. And so, these people reduce Jesus. Even Seventh-day Adventists say Jesus is Michael the Archangel. That's reducing Jesus. Jesus is not an angel. Jesus is God. He is the Son of God. He is Yahweh. That is clear from Scripture. In my teen class on Wednesday nights, one of the things we did here recently was we had a study on the deity of Jesus. And we looked at all of the Scriptures and what the Scripture said about God the Father, that He's Yahweh, that He's Savior, that He's the first and the last, that He is the beginning and the end. And we looked at every description given in the Bible about the Father is also true about the Son. The Father's God, Jesus is God. The Father's Yahweh, Jesus is Yahweh. The Father is Savior, Jesus is Savior. The Father is the Alpha and Omega, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. And so every description about God the Father is also true about God the Son. I warned my students that you're going to encounter many in your life who will attack Jesus. They will attack the deity of Jesus. And you need to be ready when they attack His deity. You need to have Scripture to combat them. And so I gave them a bunch of Scriptures that they can use. And you just simply look at what the Bible says about God the Father, and then you'll see that the same thing is also true about the Son. But demons, false teachers, these antichrists, they will attack Jesus and they will seek to reduce Jesus. They just want to bring him down to where he's just a good old guy. He's just a moralist. He's just a teacher. He's just a prophet. But that's all. And so they attack his claim of uniqueness. And you need to be aware of that, and you need to know that they're going to do that. But secondly, they also attack his offer of righteousness. They add to the sacrifice of Jesus. The good news of the gospel is not that you can be saved, but that you can be saved by grace. That is the good news of the gospel. There we go. Catch up. And so the good news is not that you can be saved. The good news is that you can be saved by grace. That's good news. The Mormon church teaches that we're saved by grace after all that we can do. What does that sound like? Well, it sounds like a works-oriented approach to God, because that's what it is. So you're actually saved by Christ's sacrifice plus all of your good works. That's what they want you to believe. And this is in 2 Nephi 25:23. They teach salvation by works. And by the way, here's the thing. Every religion on the planet teaches salvation by works. Christianity is the only religion that teaches that you are saved by grace. All the other religions, you have to work and merit your salvation. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach salvation by works. They teach that the 144,000, they're the only ones who can be redeemed by the blood of Christ, and the rest have an earthly hope, and they're simply going to live here forever. And so when they knock your door, they don't knock the door and say, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus and His atoning death. No, they're going to talk about the kingdom. Jesus and His atoning death isn't for you. It's not for you. That's for the 144,000. Not for people walking the earth today. They all have the earthly hope. And so this is just some of the nonsense that you're going to hear from Antichrist, from people who are opposed to Jesus. And so we believe God's plan to save man was Christ crucified. That was the plan. Man cannot save himself by himself. You cannot atone for my sins, and I can't atone for your sins. And you know why? Because I have my own debt. I am a sinner. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so because of that, I'm in debt, and I have a debt to pay. Therefore, I can't die for anybody. And you can't die for anybody because you have your own debt to pay. And that's where Jesus comes in. So Jesus came into the world, and He was both God and man. And He needed to be man because we got into this mess through man. Someone said it wasn't the apple on the tree, it was the pear on the ground that got us in trouble. And that's true. Adam and Eve, they got us in a world of hurt. And so man got us into this situation, and it was necessary for a man to die and pay the debt of humanity's sin. So God became a human so that He could go to the cross and die and pay the debt of all human sins. And then He's also deity, because after He died, He raised Himself from the dead. And so Christ atoned for our sins at the cross, and then He was raised from the dead on the third day. And so we are saved by the grace of God. We're saved by the grace of Jesus. It's not our works. It's not our merit. It's what God did in Jesus Christ. The cross is what redeems you. The cross is what takes away your sins. It's not anything you do. So there's no goodness on your part that causes your sins to be removed. It's the death of Jesus. He atoned for sin, and He alone. And demons and false prophets and Antichrist are going to attack Jesus. They're going to attack His sacrifice, and they're doing it. And many want you to believe that you have to contribute to your salvation, and only then are you right with God. You see, Scripture proclaims loudly that Jesus Christ purchased our salvation in full. In Titus 3 verse 5, Paul says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And so we don't add anything to Christ's atoning death. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith. Grace was the kindness and the mercy and the goodness of God to send Jesus into the world to die to pay the debt of your sins and my sins. And not in anything that we do. But false teachers want you to believe that his death was not sufficient. His death was not enough to take away our sins, and therefore we have to add to his death our works. And so this attack on Jesus' sacrifice is demonic. Anyone who would attack the sacrificial death of Jesus, it is demonic. Paul says in Galatians 5 and verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. So Paul makes it abundantly clear. You know how you fall from grace? We talk about falling from grace. How you fall from grace is you add to the atoning death of Jesus. When you add good works to his death, it's his death and my good works, you fall from grace the very minute you do that. That's what Paul says in Galatians 5 and verse 4. Anytime works enters in, you fall from grace. I'm telling you, the death of Jesus was all that was needed to atone for your sins and my sins. And his death was sufficient. But these false antichrists are going to tell you different. And you need to be ready for it. But then number three, they will attack his call to holiness. You see, Satan will give people what they want. He's real good at that. Jude 4 says that if you dismiss sin, you attack Jesus. Listen to what Jude 4 says. For certain men crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, many churches are teaching that it's okay to engage in immorality, that it's okay. I mean, there are thousands of churches across the country who are doing this. They're saying that it's okay to be gay, that it's okay to be transgender, and so go ahead and live that way. It's okay. Now, that's what you will get from various pulpits. All right? That's what you're going to get. Many churches teach this. But I want you to listen to Paul. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 1, beginning with verse 24. He says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful. And receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things that are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. I didn't write that. Paul wrote that. And he goes on to say, and not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So those who do these kinds of things, they're going to be condemned. Those who approve of those who do those kinds of things are going to be condemned. And so both, it's wrong to approve of that which God says is sinful. When God says that immorality is sinful and is to be avoided, and then you hear someone saying, no, it's okay. You can be sinful. You can engage in immorality. God's okay with that. God isn't okay with that. You can't ignore what Paul writes here in Romans. And you can go to Galatians chapter 5 or 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says the same identical thing. So any spirit that leads you away from holiness, here's the thing, it's not of God. It's not of God. Any spirit that leads you away from the idea of holiness, you have to know that's not of God. You need to be perceptive and know that you're being lied to. You know, at the end of the first century, you have the beginnings of what we call Gnosticism. Gnosticism taught that matter is evil, and therefore flesh is evil, and therefore Jesus Christ could not have come in the flesh because he would be evil. And so for them, God can't come in the flesh because flesh is evil. And so that's the reason they denied that Jesus came in the flesh. Well, they were just simply wrong. The Bible does not teach that flesh is evil. That's what they teach. So what does the Bible teach? Well, listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 18 through 20 here. He says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This vessel is God's temple, the Bible teaches. 1 Corinthians 3 teaches the church is a temple, but in 1 Corinthians 6 it teaches the body is the temple. God resides in his temple, and God wants his temple to be holy. And the reason for that is God is holy, the Bible says. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Don't listen to these false teachers that tell you that you can go out here and be immoral, and God's okay with it, because God is not okay with it. Don't fall for lying preachers. Be discerning. Be a lie detector. And so today we observe the need to be good lie detectors, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And they will attack, number one, Jesus' claim of uniqueness. Number two, they will attack his offer of righteousness. And number three, they will attack his call to holiness. To holiness. You know, Moses told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 18 how they could decide who the true and the false prophets were. And so he says, if a man speaks in the name of the Lord, and a thing which he speaks does not come to pass, that man, he's a false prophet. Because if it's from God, if God says something is going to happen, it's going to happen. And so if a man speaks in the name of the Lord, and that which he prophesies does not come about, then you know he is a false prophet. And so we need to be discerning and know if whether or not people, when they speak, what they say is lining up with the Bible. And that's important, because in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, Peter says, if anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. So if anyone speaks, he should speak Scripture. When they get up in the pulpit, they should proclaim the Word of God, not their thoughts, not their feelings, Scripture. Because what people want is a thus saith the Lord God. People want to hear a word from God. They don't want to hear a man's opinion. They want Scripture. They want the Word of God. And so when we hear people speak, we need to take what they say and measure it against the Bible. And if it doesn't line up with the Bible, then you have to reject it. Be a good lie detector and be able to detect the lies, because you will encounter them. And so this morning, we're going to extend an invitation for anyone that has a need at all. If you are in need of prayer, we would love to pray with you. If you're in need of salvation, we would love to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. We would love to share with you His atoning death and how you can apply His atoning death to your life so that you can be saved and you can be ready for when Jesus comes back. And so this morning, whatever your need is, we ask you to make it known as we stand together and sing.